Gracious and caring God, we give you thanks this day. Thanks for this gathered community. Thanks for those who would seek your ways and your word. May all that is said and all that is shared truly bring us closer to you. In Christ Jesus, amen. That beautiful passage with which St. Peter began the second letter of Peter began, speaks to the best in theology. It puts head and heart together. It puts ideas and ethics onto the same page. It integrates the things that come from God in Christ and the things people who believe ought to do because of them. Theology, as it is understood in this sense, is not just a study about the ways of God. Theology is a faith practice. It's learning about God in order to be able to do what God requires. For such theologizing as this, the Second Peter passage in chapter 1 proposed a ladder of virtues to climb, and Chris, you spoke it so correctly. Make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and your goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. If you read on through 2 Peter, there's a very specific theological reason that the author had in mind for expressing those sentiments. He believed that God's second coming in Christ was soon going to happen. The end of the world, Judgment Day, the eschaton, and on that day only the faithful, godly, and loving would have the spiritual endurance or theological wisdom to withstand the tests. It was, he believed, critically necessary for people to climb this ladder of virtues if they had any hope of living through the end of times. But Judgment Day did not happen, as Second Peter believed that it would. What were people to believe about God and how to follow God then? What was the intent of God in Christ for the ongoing chapters of history? What are people's purposes in creation to be? Just what is it that God in Christ would ask of humanity as life goes on and the world evolves? People kept asking those questions. The search for faithful answers has led to a spiritual way of thinking that we call today theology. In truth, aren't we all theologians? I believe that we are each called to that work of seeking to understand God and working to follow in Christ's ways. A really good theologian, C.S. Lewis, called theology a kind of map. He believed that theologies give directions and point the way. They're charts made by map makers who have journeyed toward spiritual places others like us want to find, so the map helps informs us and other seekers. And as theologians, people aren't just map readers or map makers. We need to be explorers, actually going to where the map leads and discovering for ourselves what God gives and what God requires. Now I'm going to go off the map. I know a person in a former church who was a theologian. He was our resident Bible study theologian. He was a maker of maps, pirate maps to be more specific, and he might have called them that because Mark was a bit of a pirate. He didn't have a peg leg or a parrot or a patch over one eye, but he did stand over 6 feet tall. He had a beard that was full and pointed at the end, and a long mustache that he liked to twirl, and a gravelly voice that worked especially well when he said, "Arrg." In fact, Mark had been an officer in the Merchant Marine. Unfortunately, a disabling back injury had forced him out of the service, so he mapped out a different future. He became a PhD student studying theology. What area of theology? Cosmology, the study of the development of the universe, or as he would say, mapping the heavens. And it was a complicated map. But I asked him, does knowledge lead to goodness or self-control or endurance or love? "Arg," he replied, "not that much." Although the psalmist did write, "When I look to the heavens, what are human beings that God is mindful of us?" Even Mark would say, that is not all there is to theology. So, move to the other end of the spectrum. Way back in 1985, and I looked that up, that's got to be what, almost 50 years ago? Right? Oh, good. Theologian I am, mathematician I am not. 30 years ago. Back in 35 years ago, back in 1985, sociologist Robert Bella wrote a book entitled Habits of the Heart, Individualism and Commitment in American Life. It was a bestseller then and is now a classic work because it mapped out what secularism was doing to tradition and religious authority and to community. One of the persons that Bella featured in the book was a woman that he called Sheila. She had mapped out her own theology. Sheila, it turns out, has become a symbol of contemporary individualism. She's almost in the dictionary today. Just Google Sheilaism, and up pops an article from Wikipedia that even quotes her original comments from Habits of the Heart. "I believe in God," she said, "but I'm not a religious fanatic. I can't remember the last time I was in church. My faith, though, has carried me a long way. It's Sheilaism, my own little voice. Just try to love yourself and be gentle with yourself. You know, I guess take care of each other. I think God would want us to take care of each other." In 1985, that was pretty countercultural and perhaps radical to suggest. Today, though, it's common for people to say, "I'm spiritual, but not religious." But is that enough? In his day, half a century earlier than that, the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer would have called that Sheilaism cheap grace. Perhaps that's because Bonhoeffer was mapping out what God required of him then in opposing the rise of Nazism. The cost of discipleship, he found, was that people of faith must go into the public arena and actively oppose hate, bigotry, and intimidation. A simple, "I'm okay, you're okay, God's okay with all of us," is not even close to the mark. Challenging times require more. Despots arise, evil happens, and when people with little theological backbone stay silent, the worst is yet to come. To paraphrase Jesus' brother James, theology without works is dead. That was in 1940. But even today, Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, is a big seller and taught in most seminary classrooms. Maybe even my cosmology friend Mark would teach it if he was teaching in a seminary. Yet, Today, sociologists say that the most quickly rising group confirms what Bella thought 35 years ago. The most quickly rising, increasing group on the religious landscape today are those who call themselves nuns. Folk like Sheila, who have no established faith but their own. In fact, it's practically a theological free fall out there today. We are all theologians. But what do we know about such things? Perhaps Mark and Sheila and Dietrich can be of help. First, as Mark attested, theology does take constructive knowledge to be worthwhile. We do need to have learned something about God and about Christ and about the Bible and about what tradition has taught. We need to be lifelong learners as well as seekers. In fact, the best definition of theology that I know of expresses that idea. It is about theo, or God, and logia, or knowledge, but not just generically. At the heart of theology is faith seeking understanding. That's a great definition for theology. In fact, Daniel Miglior wrote a book about theology with that title, Faith Seeking Understanding. Christian faith is not blind faith, but thinking faith. Christian hope is not superficial optimism, but well-founded hope. Christian love is not romantic naivete, but open-eyed love. The understanding sought by faith is not speculative knowledge, but wisdom that illuminates meaning, purpose, and moral truth. Theology does need knowledge and the wisdom that can be gained from it. But I also believe that Sheila has a good point. Theology is also about, as she said, one's own little inner voice. Because theology needs ownership. We all become theologians by experience. There's something to be said about being restless and adolescent for good theology. It ought to be about a bit rebellious, saying, prove it. It needs to map out its own path and find its own unique expression within the individuality of one's own experience. The Constitution of the United Church of Christ even declares that each generation must make the faith their own. And it happens. Each generation can learn by experience that God is not finished with us yet. So don't put a period where God has placed a comma. To be saving love here and now, what is faithful and true will stand the test of time and the testing that people bring to it today. With head, heart, and soul, and as Bonhoeffer's theology so strongly asserted, equally so with discipleship. And discipleship is all about seeking social justice. Discipleship and charity are not the same things. A generative story about Bonhoeffer is that in 1939, he came to the United Seminary in New York as a lecturer. Yet he spent only 2 weeks here. He wouldn't stay, he couldn't stay, because he was so deeply engaged in resistance to the Nazi regime that he could not stay away from his homeland. And upon his return, he became a spy. And eventually he even had a part in a plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler. In 1943, he was arrested, and just before Germany surrendered, he was executed. His legacy is to say that we are all theologians in discipleship. We are all people of faith with the urgency and the cost being accepted, of doing what God in Christ calls us to do. Now, I am definitely not suggesting that people of faith resort to violence. Yet passionate faithfulness understands the need to be activists in pursuing social justice, in caring for the least, in seeking restorative fairness to those who have been unjustly denied, affirming and celebrating diversity, and helping love cast out the fearsomeness that divides and injures others. I suspect I've taken us off the map. But I'd like to say that in days of old, when explorers traveled to unknown places, they often sailed past the map as well. What was beyond the known world? On the margins where mysteries prevailed, map makers would often draw dragons. Fiery creatures suggesting to people that they should be afraid, very afraid, of going past what is known and what has been said in the past. But for those of us who are learning to be theologians, going beyond where the map ends while discovering ourselves what God gives and requires, would do well to understand this counsel and to see it written in the margins. Make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. May it be so. Amen.